Now, you're most welcome back to the programme. Bobby here with you all the way till 12 o'clock this morning. You're most welcome back, as I say, to the second hour. As always, this is the show that talks to the most interesting people in Irish business. You can text us here at the station, 53106. It'll only cost you 30 cent. Low call me, 1-890-453-106, or email me at downtobusiness@newstalk.com. I'm also open on Twitter at Bobby Kerr. Please use the hashtag BobbyMeansBiz. Now, loads to come in this next hour. Shortly, I speak to undertakers about death and debt. In our executive chair, I'll be talking to the country manager of Marks & Spencer Ireland. He's Ken Scully. He'll be with us a bit later on. And I'm in public conversation with Moya Doherty of Riverdance fame down at the National College of Ireland. So this week's industry review is all about the funeral business. I'm delighted to be joined here in studio by three undertakers, David Fannigan from Fannigan's, Mary Kniff from Massey Brothers, and Jonathan Stafford from Stafford's Funeral Care. I'm also delighted to be joined on the line before I talk to our local panel here by Leanna Champ, who's just recently written a book all about being an undertaker, and she's on the line now from the UK. Good morning to you, Leanna.
Good morning, Bobby.
How are you?
I'm very good this morning. How are you?
Now, I have three of the pillars of the Irish undertaking industry here waiting to talk to me. Can you tell us a little bit about your story, Leanna? You've written a great book called How to Grieve Like a Champ, which happens to be your surname. Tell us more.
Yes. Well, I've been a passionate interested in grief ever since I was tiny. From the age of nine, I used to follow my mum and say, I want to be an undertaker. I had no experience of death. I didn't even know what undertakers were. I just inside had to be an undertaker. So at school at the age of 15, my careers advisor told me I may as well be an astronaut as I'd have no chance of either. And I was devastated for my mother.
Leanna, sorry, we're having some trouble there with your line. We'll ring you back because we just can't hear you properly. So we'll ring you back in a minute. Stand by there. Now, let me just introduce our panel here again. As I said, we've David Fannigan, Jonathan Stafford and Mary Kniff. Mary, we'll start with you. We'll try and get Leanna back on the line there. But as the female representative here of the undertakers, tell us a little bit about your own story. Your family were originally in the, I believe they were butchers, is that right?
Well, the Massey Brothers family were butchers originally, and in the 1930s, the demand from their community to open a funeral business, and the family was started by a lady, Annie, known as Sissy Maguire, Sissy Massey, and she had two brothers, Larry and Patrick. And they opened their funeral business in the 1930s in Thomas Street. And like all good families, they had...
a big bust up.
Well, that's what they had, difference of opinions. And Sissy maintained the original family business. And she married Mr. Maguire and continued on the original Massey Brother business.
Okay.
Yeah.
And interesting enough, as you say, your business was founded by a woman, but it's also half the employees are female.
That's
which
right.
Which is quite surprising, I would have thought, in what I would have perceived as a male-dominated industry.
That's true. 30% or half of our employees are females. And it's not that we want to peg men against women or anything like that, but I think Freddie, in his wisdom, he employed people who had the right attributes and the right people for the jobs as he went along.
Okay.
And it just happens that we have
a lot of ladies. Let's introduce our second guest. He's David Fannigan. David, how are you? You're very welcome. You've been on with us here before. Remind us about your great business, if you would.
Thanks very much indeed. Yes, we go back almost 200 years. Next year, we mark our 200th year in business, in the funeral business in Dublin. Down to the sixth generation now, and the seventh coming along. We have managed to stay together and stay very close together. And even recently, as close as next Tuesday, we open up our new funeral home in Rathfarnham. So it's there's a demand for a quality service in Dublin, in Ireland, and I'm very pleased that Fannigan's can provide that.
Okay, all right. And our third guest is Jonathan Stafford from Stafford's, again, another family business. Jonathan, tell us a little bit about you and your business.
Yes, yeah, so my grandfather started a business in the late 40s and created a limited company in the early 50s on the North Strand. And my father then joined him in the early 60s. And when my grandfather passed away in the 90s, I joined. And I've been there ever since for the last 25 years.
Okay. Now, we might try and get Leanna back a bit later on. But just, I want to say to listeners, we have three of the most foremost expert on undertaking and in studio here. If you have any texts, get them into us here. 53106. We'll try and answer your queries as we always do at this part of the show. So, Mary, could I just go back to you and maybe just talk to us a little bit about how the industry is changing. Would I be right in saying that there doesn't seem to be, the removal, for instance, doesn't seem to be as popular as it once was? Trends are changing, and how have you changed to meet those trends?
Yes, we find that trends are changing. Firstly, the family unit is changing for a start, and therefore people have different ideas of the type of service they want for their loved one. The emphasis isn't so much on the religious services as it used to be back in the years gone by. And we find that one movement funerals now are very much part of the funeral arrangement, whereby it's one movement to the church on the morning of the funeral.
And could that be price led or, no, or it's no, not? It's it doesn't not. Really make it any odds make to the price.
No, we don't find it makes any odds. It's a family decision. They don't want to be meeting and greeting maybe twice. Perhaps they're not used, some families, they're not used to the church surroundings, and they just feel that they want just one movement, or they want to keep their loved one at home with them for an extra night and just find that it works better for them right that way.
David, could I ask you about, I suppose, the everyday working, your everyday work? How do you deal with very difficult situations you see up close? Raw grief. How do you not immunize yourself, but how do you cope with that and get on with doing your job? Because it's got to be very difficult, the situations that you see every day.
Yeah, I heard your introduction this morning on the radio at 10 o'clock in the car, and you spoke about being surrounded by death. Actually, you're surrounded by people who've had a bereavement and don't know what to do.
Yeah.
So helping them, speaking earlier to Mary outside and Jonathan, we were talking about the vocation. It is a calling. Without doubt, if you don't like people and like helping people, you're not going to make it in the funeral business. And that is hugely rewarding. This day, 3 years ago, a balcony collapsed in Berkeley on Bloomsday, and six young Irish people and one Irish American lost their lives. Flanagan's and myself were involved with four of those funerals. The families were devastated. 10 days later, the funerals took place. The amount of help that I could give, my company could give to those families, was an enormous lift in what I do on a day-to-day basis. To help somebody when they literally don't know what to do, where to go. So although you're surrounded by death, actually you're surrounded by a family who want your help. And being able to help them is hugely rewarding.
Yeah, yeah, no, I completely get that. Jonathan, Mary talked there about some of the trends that are happening now. I suppose, less emphasis on religion. How have you seen that manifest itself into your own organisation?
Yeah, it's interesting. Over the last number of years, you can clearly see that we've designed a number of funeral homes on that basis where families don't want to go to the church, or, you know, the person who's passed away wasn't particularly religious. Maybe other family members are. So we can hold a service in the funeral home. We built a funeral home in Portmarnock around 10 years ago. And we just realised then it wasn't even big enough for the service. We can hold 150 people there for a civil service. And we just recently opened a funeral home in Ballyfermot, which can hold up to 350, 400 people.
So that would be, you could basically not use the church at all in that scenario.
Absolutely, yeah. You don't go to the church at all, and a civil celebrant comes in. And we basically just follow the trend. It's not like we don't want to go to the church. The idea is that if a family, you know, have specific ideas and, you know, non-religious music, a lot of the priests are thrilled that we can cater for that in the funeral home. we find that the choice is out there. People want more of a choice. They want a wider variety of coffins. You know, there's the eco-friendly style coffins are very, very popular.
These baskets.
Wicker. And then the environmental wood style coffins where they want them made in an environmentally friendly way, you know. So,
Bobby, could I just come in one thing? I think a lot of people don't know. In the Diocese of Dublin, there are 199 venues, and you don't have to have a mass in the church. I'm not taking away from the facilities that my colleagues here have, but just a lot of people don't know the diocese launched a document 2 years ago called Funeral Ministry, where you can actually have a service in the Catholic Church, and it doesn't have to be a mass and Eucharist. Not a lot of people know that.
Right, that's interesting.
Well, it's interesting that he says that, because I think a lot of people do know that, but they just an awful lot of people don't want to use the church. They don't want the religious aspect of a service at all.
Right.
But that's what we're finding particularly. Now, it depends on the demographic, but...
Okay, well, we've loads of texts coming in. Keep them coming, 53106. What do your panel think about some churches not allowing people to talk about their loved ones and giving a eulogy? Was told by a priest in Kildare that I couldn't give my grandmother a eulogy and only read a psalm. That's from David.
That's wrong.
Yeah, isn't it?
But the 20-minute eulogy isn't great either.
No.
It should be restricted to max 5 minutes, and it can be before or after mass. And you should really clear the points with whoever the celebrant is or the officiant, because some people ramble on, and it's not helping anybody.
Well, and you're in the business of organisation. There are things around timing that delay in that area can have a knock-on effect to other parts of the day.
Ah, yeah, but I think basically, it's as somebody said, I've written you a 7-page letter. I didn't have time to write a short one.
What do you make of that, Mary?
But that's true. And I mean, they have to consider as well that most funerals are carried out now, and the funeral mass is mass for the people of the parish as well. So the poor people of the parish that's going to their 10 o'clock mass, their weekly 10 o'clock mass, they don't want to be sitting there listening to a eulogy for half an hour, 3/4 of an hour about a person. So it really should be, you know, concise and just kept to a minimum. And in my parish, in my area now, some one or two of the churches, they ask the family to arrive 15 minutes early, bring up their symbols of their loved one's life, do their eulogy, and then the mass starts at 10 o'clock. So therefore,
so it keeps things on time.
But it's interesting with the civil funerals. The idea is when you have the funeral in the funeral home or the crematorium, let's say, you literally could have 40 or 50 minutes of eulogies in the sense that, you know, the dad, sister, mum, cousin, best friend, they all get up and say a few words. And, you know, again, like anything, you have to be sensible, as David says. You wouldn't be able to do that in the church because obviously we're there for a liturgical religious service, you know.
Do you find that different churches have kind of different policies? Is that something that you would come across? A particular priest wants it done a particular way.
Correct.
Yeah.
All priests do not think the same way.
Yeah.
So we you know some better than others. Keeping in mind, once you go into that church, he's in charge. But then I must say, the clergy are listening now to what families want. They're listening to what people want and are responding well. I have to think we knock them a lot, but actually, without them, we couldn't do what we do.
Absolutely, yeah. Sure. They really, and like, I mean, the last I've seen it since I started, there's a huge difference in, you know, their ability to understand families and try and, not placate is not the right word, but
be more personal.
But much more personal, absolutely.
And actually, they're now phoning, the priest will now phone Jonathan or Mary or myself, can you just give me the heads up on who's in the family? They're not regular churchgoers.
Yeah.
Who should I listen to? Yeah. Who's going to be difficult? What guide me on it? And that 30, 40 years ago wasn't happening.
No. No.
They ruled with an iron. So that has changed for the better.
We're probably all the same when we die, but how do you deal with, I suppose, funerals from, say, from the criminal underworld or that kind of thing? Are they any different to any other type of funerals where there's a big police presence there and that kind of thing?
No, I mean, every family is dealt with the same dignity and respect. And we work with the family, we work with the services and perform the service to the best of our ability under the circumstances.
Another text in says, has your panel watched 6 Feet Under, a brilliant American drama about a dysfunctional family of undertakers? That's from Paul. Well, you could have started it yourself, David.
Well, I wouldn't call it that dysfunctional, but there was certainly, it was a wonderful series, and I think we all enjoyed it. Yeah. And it showed the reality of what goes on behind the scenes. And there was a great care, basically, and particularly regarding embalming, and we haven't spoken about that. That, I think, has been one of the most amazing things that has happened in our business. The ability to present a deceased person with dignity to a family so they can say goodbye, not in a way that they did 34 years ago. You had to close the coffin because the person, there was decomposition, deterioration. Now the body is preserved and presented to the family in a dignified way.
And this is...
I feel too that... That's the way a family sees their loved one on the final day. That's a lasting image in their minds, and that really, really helps with the grieving process afterwards, I feel. That it's very important.
It'll be interesting to ask your guest if she comes back, Leanna, was it?
Yeah.
I often think we Irish do funerals really,
very
really
well.
Like, I've travelled the world, in the UK, Australia, America, and I just don't think you'd see it anywhere as well as done in Ireland.
Well, I'll tell you what we will do. We didn't want this to be overly Dublin-centric, so we're going to go to Limerick now and be joined by Mr. Gerry Griffin, who's on the phone. Gerry, how are you?
I'm good, Bobby, and how are you?
I'm great. You might just tell us a little bit about your business first, Gerry, and then we want to talk maybe about how things are different down in Limerick than they are here in Dublin.
Well, we started in 1860 by my great-great-great-grandfather. And it's been father to son since, and my two sons are now with me.
So no difference to the situation here with our other undertakers. It's a family intergenerational business, Ger, and you've carried on the great tradition in Limerick. Is there anything happening, I suppose, in terms of things changing? And we were just talking about, you know, the fact that there isn't really a removal or it isn't as popular anymore and things around. What sort of changes are you seeing in the business, Ger?
Well, we're seeing a great level of personalisation by families because we're now finding the families aren't going with the old form. They're now stopping and saying, look, what do we really want to do as a family? What's our dynamic? You know, do we want to have mum at home or do we want to go to the church or do we want to go in the morning? And everyone are making their funeral arrangements their own now without following the old traditions, which is nice in one sense, but can be confusing for the public as well because people are beginning to ask, how do we cover this? Or where do we go? Or can we not go down here? Or what time is the mass and what time can we be there? So things are a little bit different now, but we rise to the challenge every day.
And you, when you say this sort of change, when that the audience or the people at the funeral don't know what to expect, just tell me more about that. I'm quite intrigued that would be the case.
Yeah. Well, what's happening now is you've got the older families who ring up and say, "Oh, what time is the removal? And can we come and see the person? And what time will it be at the church?" And we have to explain then, this family want no viewing, or we want to arrive just before Mass and a few minutes before Mass, and they can tend to confuse the older folks because they tend to like to be able to do what they do.
Yeah.
But it's times are changing, and families are making things their own way now, which is nice as well for them because their lasting memory, as Mary was saying earlier, is their last few days with their parents, and that's the most important memory they're going to have going forward. We have to make sure and ensure that that's perfect in every sense.
Okay. Well, look, thanks for joining us, Gerry. Good to get a Limerick perspective on things. Stay on the line there.
We'll see you in County Clare.
We'll see you then.
I don't know if you're still there, Gerry, because certainly in Dublin, what's happening now to replace the removal is families together. They're calling it the gathering now, and my two colleagues here would know that instead of having a physical removal to the church, the family are in the funeral home between 5 and 7 o'clock. So people who can't get to the funeral the following morning meet with the family that evening, and somebody might decide to say a decade of the rosary, or no, they're not into religion, that's fine, but it's very much a family being able to meet friends together, the old week.
And it does give a little bit of flexibility, does it?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Correct. And it's working very well.
Jonathan?
And I find as well, sorry about me, I find as well the area I work in now, the Timpleograth Farnham area, it's first generation Dublin, really. They're mainly country people that's come, settled in Dublin. And their children are making their arrangements, while be it in their 40s or 50s or whatever. But there's oftentimes a country influence, like the aunt down home or the uncle or the auntie nun in the convent, wherever. And it's to understand the country traditions in Dublin. Yeah. And myself being a country girl, I really understand that and can work with that. And sometimes we have to facilitate that by later openings and being able to facilitate that.
Okay, just finally then, maybe we'll go to you, Jonathan, on the cost of a burial, the cost of a funeral. It can add up, can't it?
Well, it's like anything, Bobby. It depends on what the family want. I mean, you can have a funeral for, you know, as little as you want to spend or as much as you want to spend. So I would always say to families, look, it depends on you. You know, we've a range of coffins there starting for as little as, you know, €500, €600 all the way up to whatever. So, you know, that's a huge part of it. Graves obviously have come a little bit more in the last few years, but really just kind of held steady. Cremation is very reasonable, you know.
And do you tend to find that people, it's the last thing on their mind is cost? Like, that's obviously, there's a much bigger, when something such as a tragedy or a death like that, the actual event takes precedent over any cost. Usually?
Yeah, probably. But like, as funeral directors, we're all signed up to the Irish Association of Funeral Directors, where we would always make sure we give the family an idea,
an
estimate. Absolutely. Yeah. You know. So
I think that's an important point. Mary's the current president of the Irish Association of Funeral Directors, and my one advice to anybody listening this morning, when arranging a funeral, at least deal with a company that's a member of the Irish Association of Funeral Directors.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look.
And we work with the family, you know, we work with them, we give them all their options. They have options. Every step they take, they have an option. And they can really decide for themselves what the outlay is going to be. And we never, ever let a family leave the funeral home without them having an idea of the cost.
I'd like to thank our guests, David Flanagan, Jonathan Stafford, and Mary Kniff. Thank you all for joining us. Thank you for Jerry Griffin from Limerick. And indeed, thank you to Leanna, who we lost on the line, but we'll maybe do something separately with her again. Up next, Moya Doherty, Before and After Riverdance. Stay tuned.